I am waiting for a rebirth of wonder. I am waiting for someone to really discover America. And I am waiting for the American eagle to spread its wings and straighten up and fly right. I am waiting for the second coming. I am waiting for a religious revival to sweep through the state of Arizona. And I am waiting for the grapes of wrath to be stored. I am waiting for the Last Supper to be served again with a strange new appetizer. I am waiting for the meek to be blessed and inherit the earth. I am waiting for forests and animals to reclaim the earth as theirs. I am waiting to get some intimations of immortality by recollecting my early childhood. I am waiting for the green mornings to come again. And I am perpetually waiting for the fleeting lovers on the Grecian urn to catch each other at last and embrace. I am awaiting a renaissance of wonder. It's a familiar voice from Ferlinghetti to 2nd Isaiah, announcing the deliverance of Judah from bondage. I am waiting for the emergence of wonder and amazement, and for the Last Supper to be served with a strange new appetizer. From the legend of Noah and the deluge, to the words and symbols of Hanukkah and Advent, this year Christmas Eve and Hanukkah will coincide. On Saturday, December 24th at sundown, our Jewish friends will light the first candles of Hanukkah and read aloud the proclamation of Psalm 30. Rock of ages, let our song praise your saving power. You amid the raging fire were our sheltering power. Emily Dickinson wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers." And so today we consider that thing with feathers. You know, if we could peel back all the layers of winter solstice, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and so forth, what we would find is that thing with feathers, which is much more than the flipping of a calendar or the movement of planets through the solar system. The hope, I dare suggest, is that some special person or event or condition might arrive, and thereby kindness and love might to some degree be restored before events drive us all over the cliff. The mythology of the Savior is central to Judaism and Christianity. Jews wait for a Savior who has not yet come. Christians wait for the return of a Savior who was here once and will return again. And psychologically, there's little difference between these attitudes of expectant waiting. And it's an attitude that permeates our culture. It sees change as meaningful and possible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Of course, those words are a metaphor. We know that we shall not be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changes are usually not within our power to predict or to control. Nonetheless, the hindsight of history shows that radical breakthroughs, threshold events, do happen. And hope is deeply instilled in our UU landscapes, especially among congregations in transition. I checked on the UUA website. As of this morning, 114 UU congregations are publicly in transition, seeking new ministers. You can check this out on the opportunities part of the UU website. At times, hope may seem naive and Pollyannish. Oh, you can always hope. As if it were a decorative option when the pragmatism of getting through the day doesn't seem to work. Oh, just hope a little bit. Is it just a fanciful diversion? A decorative option? Friends, our lives are shaped by the expectations that we have, even at the biochemical level. Our states of mind produce measurable biochemical changes that promote health, strengthen the immune system, or increase our susceptibility to illness. Our confidence or our fears have measurable consequences. When we become hopeless, writes Peter Steinke, we shrink possibilities. What can you do? We become restless or apathetic, feeling trapped, and entrapment feeds on itself. It's kind of hard to pick yourself up by your suspenders and get out of that entrapment because it closes viewpoints. Hopelessness absolutizes the present moment. Here we go again. What can you do? It's that voice of Eeyore. Eeyore. What else can you expect of people like that? It's the hardening of the categories. What does hope look like by comparison? Hope stirs the imagination. You begin to envision something beyond this moment. When you hope, you can wait. Wait. Hope offers options and expands horizons. And in doing so, the present becomes less preoccupying. There's more freedom, and with more freedom, there comes greater resilience and agility. Oh, I didn't know we could try that. We have the courage to say words such as although and in spite of when hope is the pacemaker. It's how the future becomes present. It reframes what is into what might be. You recall that in October we celebrated the 80th birthday of Havel, the playwright and human rights activist and president of the Czech Republic. For Havel, hope is an orientation of our spirit. It's grounded in the conviction that actions do have significance regardless of outcomes. Hope is like gratitude. It is not about a trajectory toward an outcome. It is an alignment of one's heart, mind, and spirit. It does not require a predetermined outcome. Yes, there will be outcomes, but you don't set those up ahead of time. Havel once remarked, this was at the Hope Conference in Hiroshima. He confessed that there were times when all that he had worked for seemed unlikely to succeed, and so he asked himself, why don't you just give up? But then he realized that hope is an internal alignment not contingent upon a succession of outcomes. That our life on this earth has meaning and is not just a random event among other random events. Anne Lamott observes, hope always begins in the dark. The dark time of year, perhaps. Perhaps no wonder that multicultural representations of hope will emerge at the winter solstice. In the northern hemisphere, I should add. You wait and watch and work. You don't give up. When I was a student chaplain at Boston City Hospital, I led a memorial service for a bag lady, one of Boston's many street people whose last home on earth was at City Hospital. She and I had conversed in her hospital room just two or three times, and at her memorial, only the funeral director and a reporter and I were present at a small chapel in the North End, but I thought she had earned an appropriate memorial. It was really brief. Went something like this. We gather today to do honor to the memory of Miss Trudy Chase. Let it be known that she never went to church, that she wanted nothing to do with conventional religion, that she avoided the clergy like the plague. Let it be known that she was self-supporting, that she never borrowed a dime, that she never walked into a bank or invested in ExxonMobil. Let it be known that Trudy never married, that she never bore children or liked them very much, that she didn't like much of anyone for that matter. But let it be known that she was intelligent and sensitive, that she loved to read by a kerosene lamp, that she protected animals, especially kitty cats, that she was proud and independent, that she lived at her own remarkable pace, that she added a spice and a curiosity to our world, that she gained our respect and will remain in our memory. And let it also be known that God will surely bless and keep her if she desires the company. The ordinary really is quite extraordinary. Everything human is truly divine. The lily grows in the nooks and crannies, of course. That's how the light gets in. My friends, Hanukkah and Advent are not about high-profile, charismatic, celebrity saviors. I know that is the temptation. Bring us a rock star. Bring us someone with charisma. I know. Oh, do I know. The wisest teachers, from the Buddha to Yeshua to Rumi to Emerson, down to our own day, they declare, don't cling to any one source of salvation, any one teacher, because this condition of kindness and love which you seek, this is already within and among us right now. So wake up. Use your mind, your heart, to discover and recreate goodness and love. Use the gifts that you have been given to bring these hopes and expectations into being. The kingdom, shall we say, is not later on. This is it, boys and girls, right now. This is it. Oh. It's about paying attention. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes have returned home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, that's when the real work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, and to bring peace among all and make music in the heart.